We are in Joshua chapter 20. Oops, I'm going to lose my voice maybe. Hopefully not. Joshua chapter 20. We made it to verse 7 of Joshua 20. Of course, we've been going through the cities of refuge, and so we'll see how this continues on today. So starting verse 7, says, "And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee and Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah." Let's pray. Father, again, it's a blessing to continue this journey through Joshua. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to reveal the truths of your word to us as we go through this. And I know, as I've said before, many of these parts are maybe not as exciting as other parts, but it's still there for our learning and what you'd have for us to know. And so I pray, Father, that we are getting stuff out of this that we can apply to our lives, things that we can talk about with others. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish throughout this time that we have together. And we'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So these cities of refuge were a type of Christ, so to speak. Their names are applicable to him. Kadesh signifies holy or holiness. And Christ is holy in both his nature, divine and human. And so abundantly qualified to be the mediator, savior, and redeemer, and is the fountain of holiness to his people and has made sanctification to them. So we see where these cities of refuge will be signifying some of the characteristics of Christ as well in what their name signifies. And so in Psalm 16:10, Psalm 16:10, it says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption." And 1 Corinthians 1:30. First Corinthians 1:30 says, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Shechem, on the other hand, signifies the shoulder, and not only the government of the church and people of God is on the shoulder of Christ, but all their sins have been laid on him and bore by him, and every particular soul in conversion. Every lost sheep is looked up by him, and taken up and brought home on his shoulder. And so all of those, Isaiah 9:6, we all know that, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then Luke 15:4. Luke 15:4 says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" So obviously Jesus is the one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so that's what he is about. Hebron signifies fellowship, friendship, and the effectual calling. The saints are called into fellowship with Christ, and their fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. Through him they have access to God and communion with him now, and shall have uninterrupted communion with him for all eternity. We can, by the way, we can have uninterrupted communion with Christ today through obedience, right? When we're disobedient, what happens? Our fellowship is broken, and we need to get that restored. Our relationship's never broken, but our fellowship can be broken. In heaven, are we ever going to have broken fellowship with Christ? Of course not. How could you have broken fellowship with Christ in a perfect world where there is no sin? Disobedience to God is sin. If there's no sin, there can't be any disobedience. Fellowship not broken. And so we'll always have, for all eternity, we could have that now if we want it. But we got to want it more than we want the sin. And that's where the rub comes in, right? In 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then over in John 17:24, says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. These three cities chosen were easy to get to for everyone. Kadesh was on the north, Shechem was in the center, and Hebron, was in the south. It's interesting to me that all of these are spoken of as in the mountains. All of these were Levitical cities, which had been an early requirement for cities of refuge. God had given wisdom, great wisdom, to the Levites to determine innocence or guilt in such matters. This is the first time in Scripture that Galilee is used. And then Joshua 20, verse 8, goes on and says, and on the other side, Jordan, by Jericho, eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. In the country possessed by the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, these last cities were not assigned now. They were assigned in the times of Moses and served by him. And we can see that in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Through 43. It says, and Moses severed three cities on this side Jordan towards the sun rising, that the slayer might flee thither, which should kill his neighbor unawares, and hated him not in times past, and that in fleeing unto one of these cities he might live, namely Bezer in the wilderness in the plain country of the Reubenites, and Ramoth in Gilead of the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan of the Manassites. Notice that there were not said to be appointed, but assigned or given. They were not delivered up into the hands of the Levites for cities of refuge. They were not, according to the Jews, made use of as such until the other three were appointed. In Joshua 20, verse 9, says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. So for the common use of them all, and not for that tribe only in which they stood, for all the children of Israel and for the stranger, as these typified the great provision which God was making for the salvation of both Jews and Gentiles. Hence the stranger as well as the Israelite had the same right to the benefits of these cities of refuge. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter their nationality. It doesn't matter even what their religion is, right? God is still the one who saves, and God can save regardless. And that's why I have a problem with these people who have this dogmatic idea that if you are not independent Baptist, you cannot be saved. It's nowhere in the scripture. Now, I'm independent Baptist because I believe that we hold closest to the Word of God. If, by chance, the independent Baptist got all off track and left what we believe the Word of God teaches and all, then what do? Do we continue with the independent Baptists or do we continue with the Word of God? We continue with the Word of God because it's the Word of God. And have independent Baptists gone off the track? There are some that have. I'm not saying many at this point, but there are some that have. And it could be many for all I know, but there are some that have. Somebody asked me one day, what happens if Baptists all quit believing the Word of God? Would you still be a Baptist? I said, I'm a born-again Christian, first and foremost. I hold to the Baptist truths, which come from the Word of God. If the Baptists leave that, then I'm still a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost. And that's what it's got to be. So far, we still have Baptists that are still contending for the truth, contending for the faith. And so we'll be seeing that in this upcoming service as we look at that as well. God is not just the God of the Jews only. He is not just the God of the Gentiles only. He's the God of all. And then it says, until he stood before the congregation, the judges and elders of the people in trying civil and criminal causes always sat. The persons who came for judgment or were to be tried always stood. Hence the expression so frequent in Scripture, standing before the Lord, the judges, the elders, etc. Can you imagine if the guilty had to stand through the whole proceeding all the time? Or the accused, I should say, were standing before the whole... Some of these trials last weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and some of them last months. They don't do that. The city of refuge was for anyone facing this problem. It guaranteed justice for those innocent of shedding the blood of man. They would not protect them if they were found guilty of murder. This was not a get-out-of-jail-free card, as I mentioned last week. This was you came, you stood, you were tried, and if you were found guilty of murder, your life was then taken. If you were found innocent, then you could stay in the city of refuge. And so the innocent was treated as a member of the community with full privileges. It's interesting to look at the meaning of the names of the cities of refuge. Kadesh means holy, Shechem means shoulder, Hebron means fellowship, Bezer means fortification, Ramoth means height or high places, Golan means passage. All of these names show us Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. He is our very present help in trouble. He is holy. He is the shoulder for us to lean upon. He is our very best friend. We can fellowship with him when no one wants us. He builds a hedge around us, and he is for our fortification. He is our joy. The names of the cities of refuge are a description of Jesus Christ, our protector. So it's interesting how we can read through those things. And again, unless we do the research and we do the study, we don't know that, right? You just read them and you go, okay, so that's what, it's another city, right? They were specifically lined out because of what the names meant and because where they were located. God has a way of putting everything just perfectly in order, doesn't he? People go, well, no, it just happened. No, God has a way of orchestrating things so they're just perfectly lined up the way they're supposed to be. Now, man will try to frustrate that. Man will try to do his very best to frustrate that, but God is always going to be able to bring about what God wants in his timing, regardless of what man does. Isn't it interesting that no matter what we do, we can't upset God's plan? Just isn't going to happen. So, moving on to chapter 21 of Joshua, the cities for Levi. Levi was given no land, as God himself would be their portion. In Joshua 13:33, we saw that, where they weren't given an inheritance, but that God would be their inheritance. And so they were given 48 special cities from the 11 remaining tribes, 48 cities total, 42 cities to live in and all, and 6 cities for cities of refuge. The Levites were responsible for the spiritual care of Israel. They were given 48 cities, including the 6 cities of refuge, as I mentioned, scattered throughout Israel, meaning most Israelites would have less than a day's journey from a Levitical city. This shows God's heart for placing spiritual leaders among his people. Today, God has placed spiritual leaders in his churches to equip Christians to do their part in developing a community of people who live and serve like Jesus. That's the idea behind the churches, is that the people that God puts in positions of pastor are the ones to equip the saints, and the saints are to go out and do what? Multiply saints, right? Share the gospel so that more people, and then we build a community of like-minded people, come into the church, they get to be discipled, they get to be like-minded, and so then we develop that community. If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." So that's what this is all about. Cities to dwell in, verses 1 through 3. We'll look at those in chapter 21. God had given Moses his direction to provide 48 cities of the Levites dotted throughout Israel's tribe allotments. Look at Numbers chapter 35, please. Starting in verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, Command the children of Israel that they give unto the Levites of the inheritance of their possession cities to dwell in, and ye shall give also unto the Levites suburbs for the cities round about them. And the cities shall they have to dwell in, and the suburbs of them shall be for their cattle and for their goods and for all their beasts. And the suburbs of the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites shall reach from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. And ye shall measure from without the city on the east side 2,000 cubits, and on the south side 2,000 cubits, and on the west side 2,000 cubits, and on the north side 2,000 cubits. And the city shall be in the midst. This shall be to them the suburbs of the cities. And among the cities which ye shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which ye shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee thither, and to them ye shall add 42 cities. So all the cities which ye shall give to the Levites shall be 48 cities. Them shall ye give with their suburbs. And the cities which ye shall give shall be of possession of the children of Israel. From them that have many ye shall give many, but from them that have few ye shall give few. Every one shall give of his cities unto the Levites according to his inheritance which he inheriteth." So God already laid out exactly what was supposed to happen. They already knew. So what do you do? You just do what God told you to do, right? Just follow the word of God. And then the 6 were to be, as I said, the cities of refuge. In verse 1 of chapter 21 of Joshua, said, then came near the heads of the fathers of the Levites unto Eleazar the priest, and unto Joshua the son of Nun, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. When the land was divided to the several tribes, and everyone knew the cities that belonged to them, and what they could and should part with to the Levites, and when the six cities of refuge were fixed, the Levites came to put in their claim for cities of habitation, they having no share in the division of the land, and yet it was necessary they should have habitations. The persons that undertook to put in a claim for them were the principal men among them. The fathers of them were Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. The heads of those were their chief men that were then living. These came unto Eleazar the priest, and to Joshua the son of Nun, the high priest, and the chief magistrate, and unto the heads of the fathers of the tribes of Israel, the princes appointed to divide the land with the two great personages mentioned in Numbers 34:17. The Levites were to have cities to live in, but their real inheritance was the Lord. Remember, this is not my home, I'm just passing through, right? So we have a place to habitate, but they had no real inheritance because their inheritance was the Lord. They were to live of the offerings of the altar. Their inheritance was not of things of this world, but of things of God. It was planned from the beginning that the Levites would have cities, which suburbs, to live in. Each city of refuge had to be a Levitical city. In verses 2 and 3, it's the designation of the special Levitical cities, together with their surrounding suburbs, or pasture land, carries out the various Mosaic provisions, as we saw in Numbers 35:1-8. Since some 48 of these were established throughout the land, spiritual help would be near and available to all of the Israelites. Wouldn't have to wonder, you know. I remember several years back, I had a couple ask me, they were planning on moving to a certain area, and they were retired, so they could live anywhere. And they said, what do you think? I said, the first thing I would do is find out, is there a good church there? Is there a good Bible-believing church there in that area? Because if you go to an area and there's no church close by, what's the first thing you're going to do? Most likely. I'm not talking everybody, because there's some people that have the conviction they're going to drive however far it takes. But a good vast majority of people are going to say, it's too far to drive. And pretty soon they're no longer going to be in church. God wanted to make sure that it was not going to be far for people to be able to get to a city where they could get the spiritual instructions that they needed. That's why he put these where he put these, so that they could be throughout the land and people could have access. And so that's what you need to do. So some people say, well, my job's putting me in a city where there is no good church. Well, then you're going to have to drive, right? Or get a different job. I mean, that's the choices. You have to make the choice. What are you going to do? God doesn't say not to forsake the assembling of the saints together unless he says we're not to forsake the assembling of the saints. He doesn't give us a get-out-of-jail-free card that says unless this happens. So make sure, if at all possible, there's a good church in the area that you're going to. Our kids are going to be moving to Oklahoma City. They already know. They've already lived there. They already know where there's a good church. So that's what they're intending to do. Praise the Lord. That's, as a father and as a pastor, that's one of my concerns for my kids, is that they go where there's a good church. Now, do I have that control? I'd like to think I do, but I don't. And so, but God wants us to be able to have access. And so that's why he lays this out. Joshua 21:2 says, and they spake unto them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in, with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. The Lord commanded. The Lord commanded. You know, it's good to know what the Lord says so that we can rely on it, that we can use it when we need it, right? And had they not remembered what the Lord had said, how would they know that these cities were commanded by the Lord? but the Lord commanded. The maintenance of ministers is not an arbitrary thing, left purely to the goodwill of the people. No, as the God of Israel commanded that the Levites should be provided for, so hath the Lord Jesus ordained that they who preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Why do you think when we have evangelists and we have special speakers come in and we give them a love offering? Because it's biblical. Biblical. People think, well, no, they can survive anyway. I know some pastors who believe that when you've got a missionary on the field and they come off the field due to health issues, they believe you drop their support immediately. They're no longer on the field. How do they survive? They have stepped out by faith, and they're living by faith that God's people are going to take care of them. And then all of a sudden, all of that's pulled out from underneath them. People say, yeah, but they need to trust God. How about God's people trust God and do what God's told them to do and continue to take care of them? I don't have a problem supporting them. We've got the Butlers, 36, I think, or 38 years in the Philippines. He can no longer physically do the work there, but he's still involved in it from the United States. I will tell you, I know for a fact, because he told me, there are churches that drop them. To me, that's insane. How are they supposed to survive? They go, well, you know, God will take care of them. Yeah, how does God take care of God's people? Through God's people. It's kind of the way it works. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:14. By the way, I picked on Brother Butler, but he's not the only one that issue has happened to. We've got even the Day family came back because of their daughter and the health issues there. But you know, now that they're getting to the point where they can get back out and about, they're working towards getting back out to the field and back out doing what God's called them to do. But the whole time they weren't out of the United States, they were still ministering to the Arab-speaking people in the Middle East. Still, I mean, it's not like they just... I have no problem dropping somebody who leaves what the Word of God teaches. I can do that in a heartbeat. I have no problem dropping somebody who has decided that they're going to just live off of God's people and do nothing. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem with people who are continuing to do what God called them to do in spite of the health issues that they've been dealt. And God knew what was coming anyway. So, 1 Corinthians 9:14. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. At Shiloh, where the tabernacle was fixed, where those mentioned in verse 1 met to cast lots for the division of the land, so that the seven tribes that had not received their inheritance, saying, the Lord commanded at the hand of Moses to give us cities to dwell in with the suburbs thereof for our cattle. We have to have a place for us to live, and then we have to have land for our cattle as well, right? And so they needed to do that. So God gave that command over in Numbers 35, verse 2, that we read already. And then verse 3 of Joshua 21 says, and the children of Israel gave unto the Levites out of their inheritance at the commandment of the Lord these cities and their suburbs, knowing full well that there was such a command. They made no objection to their motion, but freely gave them these cities. Freely gave them a portion out of their inheritance because this is what God told them to do. They had no problem with it. Wouldn't it be great if God's people didn't have any problem with what God's word said? It'd be just amazing, wouldn't it? I'm going to tell you, when we get to heaven, that's what it's going to be like. God's people are going to have no problem with God's word. None whatsoever. You won't hear, well, it says that, but he really meant this. You're not ever going to hear that in heaven. You're going to hear, he said this, and he meant it. there's not going to be any objections to what the Word of God says. None whatsoever. This they did at the commandment of the Lord and in obedience to it. To be obedient to the Word of God, you've got to follow what it says. And they were willing to do that. Verse 4, and the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the children of Aaron the priest, which were of the Levites, had by lot out of the tribe of Judah, and out of the tribe of Simeon, and out of the tribe of Benjamin, 13 cities. The Kohathites, under God's guiding wisdom, these received 13 cities, areas of the vicinity of Jerusalem, or at a reasonable distance within the allotments of Judah, Benjamin, and Simeon. This would give them access to carry out priestly functions, where God would later have the ark moved and the temple situated, which you can read about in 2 Samuel chapter 6. The Kohathites were out of the tribe of Levi. Gershom, Kohath, and Merari were the sons of Levi. The priests and the high priests were from the Kohathites. Moses and Joshua were not interested in earthly wealth. They did not leave great fortunes to their children of things on this earth. Their wealth was in heavenly things. Moses' family would receive with the rest of the Kohathites, not of the priestly family. The children of Aaron, who included the priesthood, received 13 cities out of the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. It is interesting that the priests and the high priest's family would live in the vicinity of Jerusalem. God knew that Jerusalem would be the place of the temple. God knew exactly what he was doing, as always, and orchestrated this whole thing perfectly. It is a great convenience for the ministers of the gospel to live near the place of public worship, and generally it will be found to be most conducive to their good and the good of the people. In Joshua 21, verse 5, it says, and the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. Those which did not descend from him in the line of Amram and Aaron, but of Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel, who were not priests, but Levites, had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and out of the tribe of Dan, and out of the tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. These other sort of Kohathites had their cities in the tribes next to the other three where the Kohathites that were priests had theirs. These were the Kohathites who God had chosen for service to him, but not the priesthood. Their cities were received from the tribe of Ephraim, Dan, and Manasseh, and they received 10 cities. Moses' descendants inherited with this group. There should be ministers of the gospel in all parts of the country that all the people may have the benefit of their good instruction and example. There should be, right? How many times have I asked for prayer for churches that have no pastors? What's going on in the United States of America used to not be a problem, right? In fact, I know for years it used to be like musical chairs, right? On three, all the pastors would change churches. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, if God didn't move you, don't move. If God's moving you, then you need to move. But you need to be obedient to God, not just jump ship. And I've had pastors tell me flat out, this church doesn't pay me enough, I got to find a place that pays better. Really? What about being where God called you? Now, if God calls you to a place that pays better, then that's one thing. But if God didn't call you there, not only are you going to be miserable, but the people of the congregation are going to be miserable because you're not where you're supposed to be. Let's not be concerned about that. Let's be concerned about where does God want us? I like the message I heard years ago. Are you where God wants you, or are you where God had to put you? Think about that. Sometimes God puts us in places that are uncomfortable because we're not doing what we're supposed to do, getting our attention. Other times, he has a place for us. That's where he wants us to be. So we have to decide, what are we doing? Are we doing what God wants or not? Joshua 21:5 goes on and says, and the rest of the children of Kohath had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Ephraim and out of the tribe of Dan and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh, 10 cities. Oops, I just did that. Go to 21:6, sorry. And the children of Gershom had by lot out of the families of the tribe of Issachar, and out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the half-tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, 13 cities. These were Levites who descended from Gershom, the eldest son of Levi, and had their cities by the lot assigned them in tribes at a greater distance, not only out of Issachar, but out of the tribe of Asher, and out of the tribe of Naphtali, and out of the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, which was the other half of the tribe beyond Jordan. 13 cities, and that's as many as were given out of the tribes of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. Gershon was the firstborn son, but did not receive the first cities because the priests needed to be near Jerusalem. It was not necessary for them to be near the temple since they did not serve daily in the temple. Their 13 cities were the furthest away from Jerusalem. Verse 7 of chapter 21 of Joshua, it says, the children of Merari, by their families, had out of the tribe of Reuben, and out of the tribe of Gad, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities. The descendants of Merari, the third son of Levi, had out of the tribe of Reuben and out of the tribe of Gad, which were both on the other side of Jordan, and out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12 cities, in all 48, as the Lord commanded in Numbers 35, verse 7. Reuben and Gad had their land on the east side of the Jordan River, and the land of Zebulun was in the northern area. These 12 cities added to the 13 for the priests' families and the 10 for the other Kohathite families and the 13 for the family of Gershon add up to 48 cities. Isn't it amazing how everything just fits perfectly together when you're reading the Word of God? Just God works it all out perfectly. And so I still say to those people who think that man wrote the Word of God, man would mess that up. Man would not have got that right. There's too many things to remember, too many different places where things are referenced, that man would mess that up big time. And yet, if you don't believe that, just get one of the perversions of the Word of God and see how bad it's messed up. God doesn't mess things up. So we need to stick with what we know, stick with what God tells us, and continue on with that. And before we get into another verse, we're going to stop there for sake of time. Let's pray.